On today's podcast, we have another banger episode for you guys today. We discuss the U of L women's game that we both attended on Sunday, the recent signing of Kenny Payne as the head coach of the U of L men's basketball team, and we go in-depth on the first race of the Formula One season. In segment two, we go over my dumpster fire of a bracket for March Madness, while Tyler gives his picks and predictions for the rest of the tournament. We finish in segment three with our random question of what city would you want to live in outside of the United States right now. We go through our recommendations and finish off with Tyler's quote of the week. Let's go! Welcome back to another episode of the Life After College podcast. We are officially on episode number 7. Been doing it for almost 2 months now. Who would have thought? I am Austin Zerschmid, joined by my co-host Tyler Brockman. Tyler, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, living life as I can. Allergies been getting to me. It's starting to be that time of year. Trees are blooming. And pollen's attacking me. Normally hits me pretty bad for, I don't know, about a month into the summer a little bit, maybe a little bit longer.
But yeah, they don't talk about that on ESPN, you know, with March and all these brackets and tournaments and stuff. They don't talk about the allergies that are coming in affecting these players, you know.
They should. They really should.
It's an epidemic out here for sure. Oof. So this is your allergy podcast. I need you to channel your inner Jordan to fight through it.
Not quite my flu game, but I'll give it a try.
Damn near. So kind of jumping into to a little bit of what we got going on. Surprisingly, got to see you last night at the U of L women's basketball game. I didn't know the Yum Center could get that loud for any game, let alone, you know, a kind of half, not really half full, but half kind of blocked off Yum Center lower bowl filled up game.
Yeah, you know, it's probably been a couple of years since the men's side has given a environment like that. But, you know, if you go to any of the women's games for U of L, they always kind of put the curtains down to kind of cut off that upper bowl. And it just helps kind of pack in that lower bowl and doesn't make it seem so empty. And I really like that environment. The crowd's a little different. I don't know, I was talking about it with Emily, how the crowd just seems almost like video game-like. You know, a cheer starts going and everyone's like clapping at the same time. And
yeah, I like was looking at that.
Yeah, everyone's just like really all in on it, but not quite as I'm not saying it's not rowdy, but it's just almost – it is a family-friendly environment. It probably helps when, you know, the games are comfortable victories as well. But if you haven't been out to a women's game, definitely would recommend that. The team is good, so you're almost guaranteed to watch a win. They play good basketball. They play fast pace, pretty exciting. But yeah. So did you just go to the second game?
Oh yeah, I went there and hung out. And that Haley Van Lith girl, she's a baller, ain't she?
She's clutch too in the fourth quarter. I mean, a lot of times the plays being drawn up for her kind of take something off the elbow, get a hand off, something like that, and her mid range. Is lethal. She got a really quick release too. She showed it on a couple threes at the game.
I think she needs to get some respect from the, you know, mainstream. Everyone's talking about Paige and that girl from Iowa, but Haley needs to be up there for, you know, talking about National Player of the Year and stuff like that. She's got the swag for sure.
Oh, she does have swag. A bunch of players on that team have swag.
But, yeah, the game was fun, good environment, loud, rowdy, and kind of like what you were talking about, video game-like fans. I was like, when you would see a bucket, if you just like, I don't know, like opened your eyes to like see the entire stadium. Like everyone's clapping at the same pace at like the same time. But like they all stop at the same time. It's kind of like crazy, like watching that.
Yeah, it's just a different crowd. Brings out some different people as well.
Yeah, but it was a fun game. They won. I'm guessing that's like the last U of L event in the Yum Center for the year.
That I'm aware of, yeah.
Yeah, no more women's games and then no more men's games.
Yeah, they're off to Wichita now.
Yeah, so went out on a win, and I'd like to see them come out on top, win their bracket, go to the Final Four, and maybe win the championship. They are a one seed, aren't they?
They are a one seed, yep. And the two seed in their region was Baylor, and they got upset by South Dakota, I think it was.
Yeah, I think I
So
remember that.
I guess their path gets a little bit easier.
Who's the who are the other favorites in the women's Connecticut?
Connecticut, they're a two seed. They play tonight. NC State, which Louisville has played, they're another one seed. And Louisville, I don't know how many times they played them, but I know one of the games they played them, they were up for 3.5 quarters, maybe. I don't know. But then they just fell apart in the fourth quarter. South Carolina's another one seed, and Stanford's another one seed.
You're kind of outside of that. Did you have any updates from, last week? What are your updates going into this week? I know you're on spring break. You doing anything?
Yeah, so far I feel like I've caught up on sleep. That was a big one because we had voted as a class to kind of spread out our midterms, which ended up not being good for me. It just felt like as soon as we finished one, there was like another one the next day and another one the next day, and it just kept going like for several weeks. So caught up on sleep, went to a couple of the U of L women's games. Need to kind of do some things around the house. Scheduled my oil change. Didn't get my real ID scheduled in time because they're out of appointments this week. So not sure what else I gotta get working on this week.
You going to dog park with your dog Penny Nickel
No, it's Reese.
Reese
Yeah, Penny's Emily's parents' dog, but
Yeah.
yeah, we need to get the like dog park pass again. For those of you in Louisville, there's like a dog park like membership thing, and I think you get it at Feeder Supply. Little key fob gets you into parks all around the city for dogs, and they have like a small dog section and a big dog section, and she really enjoyed that last year as a puppy, so we'll have to do that again now that the weather's getting good.
I didn't know you could get that at like Feeder Supply. I know if you had to,
I
I
want
didn't
to say
know
it's at
like how
Feeder
that
Supply.
works.
Yeah, you get a key fob, and then that'll kind of scan you in, I guess, at the parks.
That's kind of crazy. You need like a membership to go to a park.
Well, the parks are funded by it, so I guess it makes sense.
It's a scam. Everything's a scam. It's like life insurance.
Is that a scam? I mean, you're gonna be dead, so.
Can't even use it.
What am I going to spend that money on?
But yeah, so spring break sounds like you got a lot of boring stuff going on. I don't think I'm doing anything crazy this week either. I'd still like to go see Batman sometime. I haven't made my way out to see that yet. I kind of want to go like maybe Saturday morning, go to like the very first showing at Baxter's. Do that, and then like to go to the zoo sometime now that it's warming up and getting some good weather. I didn't realize how kind of like expensive it was. It's like $25 on a weekend, and they close at like 5 during the week, so I can't even go during the week.
Well, you might as well get a membership. Just go whenever.
I know I gotta figure out how long that is. Get like a lifetime membership. Or just keep changing the dates on it. But yeah, nothing really crazy going on. Nothing really happened last week. Nothing really going on this week. Every day's the same. Working from home. Getting back into it. I know this past week we've had a couple news breaks regarding the Louisville basketball program. Kenny Payne is officially hired on to be the men's basketball coach. Are you excited about the hire?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone around the program seems happy about it. So, I mean, it's probably how I can judge it best. You know, I'm not the one in those interviews to know, like, even what questions are being asked. So it's hard to, you know, really judge candidates based on that. And, I mean, like I said, I don't even know what I would ask in those interviews. But it seems like, you know, he's happy to be here. The fan base is happy to have him. He showed up to the first U of L women's game, kind of came out, got a standing ovation. So, you know, I think that's important. Kind of have, you know, good energy around it. And I think that there's, you know, good things going on with the program. But it's just at a hard time right now. So the trajectory should still be up.
Right. I will say, like, it's kind of anticlimactic that he was, you know, given the job, because he was the main guy from the jump when they fired Mac. It was Kenny Payne, Kenny Payne, Kenny Payne. And now that it's officially Kenny Payne, you kind of like, I was wanting like more buildup or more suspense or maybe someone else that I didn't see coming, but obviously he's probably the best choice for them. And then you didn't really know who else you would want to, right?
No, I mean, there's other, you know, good coaches out there, but it's hard to know, like, who would be willing to come, you know? I mean, you want a coach that, like, if you're looking at the experienced coaches that have gotten it done, you know, in college basketball, you're talking about, like, Jay Wright, but, like, would he leave Villanova? Probably not. Scott Drew, but, like, would he leave? I don't know. Would he even be as good of a fit? I don't know. Because, you know, that's kind of why, you know, a bunch of people think that Chris Mack didn't work out, is because he wasn't really that great of a fit, you know, whether that's personality wise or whatever. But so it's hard to know, like, who would really be interested and who would be that great fit.
Yeah. Did you have any interest in Scott Davenport? I feel like he's been tied to the coaching program.
Yeah, I mean,
people around
the, like, city have been talking about him. They were talking about him even back when Patino was first fired, is coming in instead of David Padgett. But I don't know. I mean, I think that right now, like, he is Bellarmine basketball. He has his kind of position. I know, I think he said that, like, maybe on his radio show or something that he does, that he would listen to offers or something like that, but not that he was, like, expecting anything, I don't think. I mean, it's not that I don't think that he could do it. I have questions about, like, if he could recruit at the same level. You know, he's been kind of in that D2 world for a while, kind of getting people that were dropping down from D1, more regional talent, things like that. I mean, X's and O's. I mean, you know, I think he's proved that he's a great coach. So I don't have any doubts about that. But I was never really – I'm not sure why he would do that at this point in his career. You know, I feel like he can almost just ride off into the sunset, keeping a good thing going at Bellarmine, the way that they've stepped up into D1 now. And he can kind of complete that transition with them and, you know, probably get them to the tournament soon.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to any Bellarmine basketball camps as a kid?
No.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were good. They were just kind of like fundamental, you know,
white kids.
I don't know. There was a variety, I guess, but
teaching the jump stop.
Those. Of course, they taught the jump stop.
Triple threat position.
Yeah, but they were some good camps.
Yeah, but switching gears from talking basketball, we're going to be talking a little bit of racing. As some of you may know, but some of you may not know, this past Sunday marked the first F1 race of the season. A lot of storylines going in. If you haven't seen the documentary on Netflix, Drive to Survive, about all the F1 stuff and drama and teams and this and that and the third going on, go see that. It'll get you into F1, teach you everything you need to know. But their first race in, was it Bahrain?
Bahrain.
Bahrain.
Yes, sir.
Just happened on Sunday. Good clean race. A lot of excitement going on. We had some drama with the Red Bulls. Red Bulls coming off the title from last year with Max Verstappen winning. He ended up being in second place for a majority of the race, and then had some type of car issue where he had to retire on the last couple laps, and then his teammate also spun out on the last lap. So Red Bull starting off very slow, but getting to the race winner. We had Ferrari's own Charles Leclerc getting his first podium of the year, first win of the year. Ferrari is officially back, finishing 1-2. What's your takes on the race?
Yeah, I mean, you know, with the new regulations coming in this year, you knew there was going to be some big changes. The way it works is there's 10 teams, but right now there's only 4 engine manufacturers, right? So you've got Ferrari, who, you know, makes their own engines, but they also supply Alfa Romeo and Haas. And, you know, last year, those teams came in 9th and 10th. You know, this year they finished in the points. Or, I mean, this, you know, this first race, they finished in the points. Then you have Mercedes, and they make their own engines and also supply Aston Martin, McLaren, and Williams. And they all finished in the back as far as the people who finished. You have Alpine, who has a Renault engine. It's a French company. They were kind of in the – they've kind of just always been in the midfield, at least recently, and they kind of seem to be there pretty consistently through the race. And then you have Red Bull, who were using Honda's engine, but kind of took it over as their own. And they supply their own engines, and they have a sister team, AlphaTauri. So 3 cars did not finish the race, and they were the 2 Red Bulls, and then the other one was an AlphaTauri from Pierre Gasly. So reliability issues, definitely a concern for them early on. It is early on, so, you know, you don't want to make any, you know, major predictions. You know, things will change throughout the year, but the Ferrari teams really seem to improve from last year, and the Mercedes teams really kind of tanked. But it'll be interesting to see how they can adjust, if it is issues with the power unit for Mercedes. How are they going to get those other teams, you know, off the back? I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's an exciting the race itself was, I wouldn't say it was like the most exciting race. There at the end, there was that late stage drama with the Red Bulls kind of engines cutting out. It still has me excited for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. And McLaren, we didn't even get to talk about them, but what is going on over there? Do you have any updates on why they are terrible right now?
Well, I mean, it's too early to say that you have all the answers, but you know, they were back there with the rest of the Mercedes powered engines other than the Mercedes team, which finished third and fourth. The rest of them all finished in the back, which is kind of troublesome, you know, seeing that it's like, it's not just your team, it's everyone using Mercedes engines that was struggling. They also had last week a practice session at this circuit, and, you know, things weren't looking great for them there. To make matters worse, one of their drivers had COVID, so wasn't able to practice. They weren't able to get as much time in these cars, which is really important since they're new cars. And then this week, you know, Daniel lost part of one session from reliability issues with the car. So they didn't have a whole lot of practice. I don't think it's, I don't know. It's not, it's still early, you know, wouldn't hit the panic button, you know, full on yet for them. Cause they did have a really good testing in Barcelona, a few weeks ago, however long ago that was, but definitely, with the comments that they've been making as well, there is reason for concern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was shocking when I saw both Lando and Daniel Ricciardo at the bottom of the field with, you know, kind of like no main issues, just bad cars driving slow.
Yeah.
Used to them seeing, you know, fifth, sixth, you know, running up there competing for podiums. But, you know, it's a strange start to the season for sure. Mercedes and Red Bull are not the powerhouses that they usually are, and it should spark some interest for fans of other teams. And it appears that Ferrari is officially back after a couple down years.
Yeah, it's good to have Ferrari back, because especially since they supply an engine to a couple other teams. Kind of helps them with their kind of competitiveness. So it's good to have them back. Next race is this coming weekend, and it's at a street circuit, so it'll be a little different. May see some shakeups, you know, because these cars are still new, so they don't know exactly, you know, what sort of tracks are going to suit their cars best. So we may see a whole switch up next race.
Jumping into segment number two, we got our topics for you guys today, and we have March Madness to discuss with you guys. Now, as you know, you all knew my picks going in from last week. Tyler, unfortunately, did not fill out a bracket, so we're going to go ahead and go into his bracket leading off, and we'll see how busted his bracket really is. So, Tyler, lead us off.
You know, my bracket's not too busted. I still have 10 of my 16 teams, which I'm pretty pleased with. I had Gonzaga getting there, and I had UConn, so missed out on that one. I did have Texas Tech and Duke. I had Arizona and Houston. I had Tennessee making it, but I did have Michigan with that first round upset, guessed correctly. And I had Villanova. Then I had Kansas and Providence, had them. Really messed up on the other one, that Miami-Iowa State was not expected by me. I had Auburn and Wisconsin, probably like a lot of people. Did have UCLA, but did not have Baylor getting upset by North Carolina. And had Purdue, but did not have St. Peter's. So probably not a whole lot of people had St. Peter's. So that one really didn't hurt me too much. But yeah, my Elite Eight is almost all alive. I think I'm just missing out on Wisconsin. And my Final Four is still alive. It's Texas Tech and UCLA. Villanova in Kansas, and I had over UCLA in the championship. So still feeling pretty good about it.
What's that sounds pretty solid. What's your percentage on it? Like your percentile?
I'm in the 91.6 percentile.
Sheesh.
Yeah. And I think the key for the group I'm in right now is that I have the highest maximum potential.
Mm-hmm.
It's really going to come down to Villanova being or going farther than Gonzaga, Arizona, and Duke. So as long as that happens, I don't think anyone, you know, will get me with just a bunch of other games. So
if only you could have given the people these tips, you know, last week before the tournament started.
Well, we'd all be right. No, look, I had to, you know, take my time filling it out. Hadn't had a chance to look at it before last week. You know, there was still some things to think about. But I remember you saying some stuff about Iowa State, right? And you were right on that one. Is that one right?
Yeah, that's I think that's the only one I got right. So outside of that, my bracket has been ruined. Shred it, throw it away, use it as toilet paper, whatever. It may very well be the worst bracket I've ever made in my whole life. I think I'm sitting, like, point-wise, I have like 320 points, maybe.
You talking about on the ESPN?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sitting at 430 right now.
Yeah, so it's very bad. You know, obviously, I picked a couple upsets that didn't hit. I got some still alive. Iowa State still alive. But I had Iowa going kind of practically all the way. Obviously, Kentucky going all the way. You know, just those first round upsets with teams I had in my Final Four were killer. But the only thing I can do now with a terrible bracket is throw my predictions out there for the rest of the way. And I think that's what I'm going to do now. So
Between
Gonzaga and Arkansas, I think Gonzaga takes it. Duke, Texas Tech, got Duke, North Carolina, UCLA. That's kind of a toss-up, but I'm thinking UCLA. I kind of like had them originally playing Kentucky, so I had them all the way to that game regardless. And then Purdue and St. Peter's, kind of up in the air on this one too. St. Peter's is surprising a lot of people. They're a New York team from New Jersey. So, you know, they're tough, hard-nosed, scrappy. And if you kind of remember my predictions on what type of team would be Kentucky, it was, you know, the hard-nosed, little dirty, scrappy teams that I was talking about. And that's exactly who St. Peter's was. So the writing was on the wall for an upset, and it happened, and they're going to keep on rolling. Purdue, I'm unsure about them because, I mean, it is Purdue. They haven't really done a whole lot with that program in, you know, kind of recent years about, you know, going far into a tournament. So I could see that game going either way, and St. Peter's very well could be going to the Elite Eight and potentially Final Four if – you know, they play North Carolina or UCLA. That's going to be a tough matchup. That would
be crazy.
Yeah. But on the other side with Iowa State, Miami, I'll go with Iowa State. I had them. Kansas, Providence, go Kansas. Michigan, I'll ride the upset wave over Villanova. Arizona over Houston. And then I'll throw Michigan over Arizona, and then Kansas and Iowa State. I'll go another upset. I'll go Iowa State over Kansas.
See, it's your problem. You go too many upsets.
Hey, I like the excitement that they bring.
It is March.
I'll go ahead and say St. Peter's beats Purdue, and they also beat UCLA. So, and then Duke and Gonzaga. I'll throw Gonzaga in there. So right now I got the number one seed, Gonzaga, against St. Peter's. And then I got Iowa State against in Arizona. So Arizona versus Michigan. I'll pick Michigan. Kansas, Iowa State. Iowa State. So Final Four, Michigan, Iowa State, Gonzaga, St. Peter's. And I think that's pretty solid.
I think in a week from now, we're going to be looking back at it. You're going to have to make a whole new prediction for how you think the Final Four is going to go.
I'll go ahead and say St. Peter's over Gonzaga, and I'm a ride Iowa State over Michigan, just because they haven't proved me wrong yet. So I got to give them the benefit of the doubt.
And sure, why not?
And then the Peacocks are your 2022 NCAA champions.
That would be crazy.
Man, how does your bracket compare to those predictions?
I mean, if that's what happens, I don't know if I get another point. So, yeah, it'd be tough because I have Texas Tech over Duke. I do have Texas Tech over Gonzaga as well to get to the Final Four. Villanova is my champion, so that would hurt if Michigan beat them. Have Houston over Arizona. I have.
So you got some upsets.
Yeah, I mean, that's an upset. I have UCLA getting to the Final Four over Purdue, which I don't think that's unreasonable.
No.
And I have Kansas over, let's see, I had Wisconsin. I'll ride the Iowa State wave with you. I could see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm Final Four as is.
And your champion's still going with Villanova?
I am.
All right, I guess we'll find out next week who had the better picks after the revised bracket.
Yeah.
Well, you sound pretty cocky going up against me.
You have the Peacocks as your champion.
I'm riding the wave. You know, you got to hop on while your wave's still going up.
I guess so.
But that's our revised bracket. That's how our current brackets are doing. My historically bad bracket. You know, there's always next year. So
sure is.
Going right in head first into segment number three. You know, we got our random question for you. We got some recommendations for you. And then the most anticipated part of every episode, we got Talon's Quote of the Week. But
absolutely.
First, we got to get through our random question.
Let's do it.
Tyler, language aside, now this can kind of tie into to last week's question of retirement destination, but I kind of wanted a more cultural-ish answer from you. Language aside, say everybody speaks your language, although the culture is the same. What city outside of the United States would you want to live in? Now, this is like now.
Yeah, so like right now. I mean, obviously, I have not been out of the country, so a tough one for me to decide, you know, if this is life. So I'm kind of between two. This hypothetical question, I would like to visit both of them before I made my final decision. But maybe you can help me make this decision. The first city is Rio de Janeiro in Brazil.
You're dead. What's the next? Okay.
It depends on, you know, where I am in the city, right? But I'm sure there's nice places there. No, I mean, I think it's a big country. It's a big city. Kind of has, I think, good weather. You know, I don't like it too cold. I think, you know, culturally speaking, it's different. It would be change, but it's also, I don't know, it's kind of exciting. It's different, you know. Carnival mm-hmm. is what they're probably known for. I think that would be, you know, fun. But you know, when they had the Olympics there a while back, there was some probably some, but you know, in my mind, it's good publicity.
That's fair.
So I don't know. I think you know, nature wise, I think that. It's pretty engaging, you know. There's some cool hikes to go on, you know. You're kind of on the coast. I've never lived on the coast. Then you're like pretty close to the forest as well. Like
that's
I said,
what they'll bury you.
Like I said, I haven't been there. I know there is some bad press about it, but I don't know. I'm interested. Fun fact for you. The Portuguese monarchs back in the day, when I think it was Napoleon invaded Spain and Portugal, the monarchs fled and went to Brazil and kind of set up in Brazil. So that was the only monarchs from back in the day that ever ruled from one of their colonies. Just a little fun fact for you, something I learned in my history class. Back in the day. So I don't know, Portugal and the Portuguese Empire is cool. Thought about picking a city in Portugal, but that is not my number two choice. My number two choice is a little more quiet, a little more quaint. It would be Interlaken. I don't know if I pronounced that right. A town in Switzerland. Okay. Something a little more, you know, small. It is a little more quiet, probably. It's kind of in the Alps, but also kind of like on the lakes. It's not too cold. You know, you got mountains, forests, kind of some good, you know, hiking places as well. But I feel like the, you know, kind of towns would be, you know, something where you could have a good life in. So, you know, I can tell that your opinion is that I would be dead in Rio. So I might as well just go with Interlaken. But yeah, haven't been anywhere outside the US. So I don't know, maybe I'll take your advice, skip Brazil and go to Europe sometime and maybe go into the Alps and, you know, somewhere in Switzerland.
Yeah, I'll say answer number two. I will give, you know, kudos to. That's a solid pick. You know, I kind of have a similar answer for my number two, but I'm thinking number one, I would like to, I think I would go to Tokyo, I think.
Ooh.
Tokyo, Japan, you know, big city. There's, you know, crazy things that you've seen like in movies about like what the city looks like. I just think, you know, walking down their main street or whatever and seeing like all those, you know, billboards and lights and all the street markets, it would be pretty cool. I know their culture is, you know, peaceful and, you know, you're very intertwined as a community and there's low crime rates. It seems like everyone kind of lives in harmony. And
you know, I think I could be, you know, a part of those people, you know, just vibing, being a chill dude myself, just all getting along with everybody, crack a couple jokes every now and then, and, you know, be a part of the group. But I think that would be a cool spot for sure.
You know, there's crowded though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crowded, but I mean, I think that, you know, their way of living, even if with how crowded it is, that you think, you know, when you think of the Japanese culture in Japan, you think of clean, you know, tidy,
high tech.
Yeah, technology is insane.
Kind of futuristic almost.
Yeah, so it's like you're living, you know, 20 years in the future. I know you've seen probably the TikToks of the Japanese people going all in with their inventions that they have around the house, where they got like this table that turns into a sofa and a bed, and they push it into the corner, and they got these chairs that pull out from a table, and then you have six chairs around a table. Just hang stuff on the wall, takes up no room, and, you know, stuff like that. But I think that would be cool, number one. Number two, kind of similar to you. I don't really have a city for the number two, but I would go with some Scandinavian country, talking like Norway, Sweden, maybe Finland, Switzerland, like you said, in the Alps. I think, you know, that area is kind of beautiful to look at, and also seems very like chill and low key, and kind of everyone getting along together, and everyone seems, you know, pretty nice from, you know, what you think of when you think of that area of the world. So, you know, going over there, I think I would like to visit there and, you know, maybe backpack through that area of Europe and kind of see all the cool spots and stuff. But that will come when I have money, and none of that is what I have right now. So.
Yeah, I was thinking about some of those Scandinavian countries, but I ended up going with Switzerland just because I think it's too cold up north. You know, the further north you go, but
oh, you know, I'm a skier. I gotta hit those slopes, baby. I mean,
you know, the Alps probably got the best skiing spots. You know,
I think you have to be like a professional to go down those mountains.
What if you're like a professional Formula One driver that does it and ends up in a coma? Keep fighting, Michael. Keep fighting.
Legend.
I don't know if that was in the Alps or not.
It could have been. Could have been.
Probably fact checked myself, but I'm not fact checking on spring break.
We're not. You know, we're not fact checking on this podcast.
No. If somebody is listening and they're like, "Oh, you know, I should fact check this." No. No need.
Mm-mm. It was probably in West Virginia where I was.
Horseshoe Mountain.
Horseshoe?
Whatever it was.
Snowshoe.
Whatever.
Yeah, that kind of answers our random questions. Where would you guys want to live in outside of the United States? There's a lot of cool places outside of the United States. There's people that, you know, are growing up, born in, live in, and die in the same small town. Everywhere across the nation, there's a lot of places to see out there, a lot of things to do. Get out there, go see them, go do them, go experience other cultures, go experience other cities, other countries, you know, get out of your shell of your hometown. Don't retire where you lived and spent your whole life, because that's boring.
Sounds like you're talking to the 36% people who voted my way last week.
I'm not talking in any specifics.
You should have studied abroad in college. Why didn't you do that?
I probably would have thrown up. Too anxious. But now I'm ready for it.
Grown as a person.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, probably should have done that. Probably could have said that when we did our college regrets episode a couple weeks ago, but you know, you only get one life and I didn't do it. So whatever.
Yeah, where would you guys want to live in? Comment underneath the poll. Quote us, tag us, say where you want to live outside of the United States. I'm curious to see what everybody else is going to say. You know, everyone has their own preference on culture, on, you know, nightlife, on, you know, their own personalities. And there's a bunch of places out there that could fit your personality that are outside of what you think. So let us know. I'm going to put Tokyo for me and Rio de Janeiro for Mr. Brockman over here. But yeah, jumping in, we'll go ahead and dive right into our recommendations. I'll let you start first. I don't know if you, I don't think we're going to have the same one, so I'll let you go first.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, break, I have time to sit around on the couch and watch more movies. I still make time for that no matter what. I think it's important to make time for the things you enjoy.
Self-care.
And I enjoy some movies, even if it does take me a few nights to finish it. You know, I fall asleep, whatever. But watched a good one. It's not a brand new one or anything, but The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo came out 2011, I think I saw. But it's got Daniel Craig in it, who some of you may know as James Bond. Doesn't really play a James Bond. It's not really an action, but it's a mystery, suspense, thriller type movie. Thought it was good. I'll go ahead and give a fair warning without any real spoilers or anything. It does have some intense scenes, kind of with some rape, which
I just put it out there. Yeah,
I'll put that out there because, you know,
hard R
with the
the hard R on the podcast.
So be careful about that if you watch it. But other than that, you know, it still has your typical kind of thriller suspense type of scenes. It's one that I would watch again. I might skip a scene or two next time I watch it.
But do they need to show the scene?
I mean,
because sometimes it plays, but sometimes they just throw it in there just to say they have a rape scene.
Yeah,
you know?
So I don't think that's what it was. There are a couple of other sex scenes. That's with a soft S. But I don't know. I mean, it shows maybe the extent, you know, for some character development. I think I was doing a little bit of research to see if there was like a sequel or anything like that. There's not another movie, at least that I found in my 30-second Google search. But it was a series of novels or something like that that were written. I'm not much of a reader, but I don't know. It almost tempted me to read them. But it, I don't know, that when you get past the kind of graphic part of it, it's one of those where, you know, you watch some of those like mysteries again, and, you know, you have a bit of how all these characters play in together. You know, it's kind of, you know, this family. So there's a lot of family dynamics going on with it. But yeah, I would still recommend it. It was very engaging, very captivating, and even something that I would consider watching, get a better idea of that mystery aspect of it.
I kind of mentioned the, you know, was it needed? Because me and you watched a movie a couple years ago, living together, Wind River, I think is what it was, and it had a similar scene in it. But I feel like it tied into the story, you know.
So yeah, that one almost... I think was important for plot. This one I think was more about character development than, you know, an actual plot point, you know. So I don't know if it was as necessary in those regards. But then, you know, for the character development where you kind of, you know, get to know this person, like where they're coming from, why they are like they are, because they are a mysterious character. I mean, I think it's important, and just like how, you know, it's portrayed, it kind of makes sense. It kind of does have that shock factor. I don't know. I mean, it's nothing too crazy. If you're worried about it, you know, watch it. You know when it's going to happen. You can kind of move on from that without, you know, losing anything about the plot. So don't let that turn you away too much.
I'll go ahead and come out. You know, we are an anti-rape podcast. We are against it.
Yes, put that out there
on the record. I'll be the first to say it.
Yes.
I'll jump into what I got. It's also on Netflix. A lot of our things are going to be on Netflix because that's what we got. But this Boeing documentary, it's kind of been, you know, kind of in the top of the list for a couple weeks now. I think a lot of people around the nation are watching it. May have been like top 10 in the U.S. for whatever, with Boeing being like a big U.S. company. But it kind of goes into the history of Boeing and the rise, and essentially it's kind of fallen down here recently in the last couple of years. And it goes through like their the scandal they had a couple of years ago. I didn't even know they had a scandal. But apparently they were putting planes out there that were malfunctioning, and they knew that they would malfunction, but because a competitor put out a plane that was better and more fuel efficient, they had to make one. But instead of making one that would have taken too much time, they kind of remodeled a similar one. And when they remodeled the similar one, a new issue came up. But the reason for remodeling was so that they didn't have to go through the training courses for other pilots to be trained on the new planes, since it was a remodel and not a new plane overall. So that kind of helped drive the business up. But because they kind of like went through it fast with the remodel and didn't require any new training, there was new issues on this new plane that kind of caused them to nosedive, just kind of randomly starting up. So they had two planes go down in similar fashion a couple of years ago, and you know, everyone on board perished, and they kind of ended up grounding all the planes until all the pilots were able to, you know, be trained on it. And now Boeing's kind of lost their appeal of being safe, because now that they're like more corporate than, you know, safety. So it's kind of on topic again with a kind of recent news, because I think I saw an article on Twitter today. There is another Boeing plane that went down like in the last couple of days. So Boeing is on the hot seat on planes. People, if you see a Boeing out there, you might not want to ride on it. You might want to go another route.
So is this something I should not watch before my trip out to Tahoe in May?
I mean, I'm not going to, you know, tell a man what he should or shouldn't do. I just want you to be informed on the issue.
That's fair. Well, let me say, you know, this podcast is a very anti-plane crashing podcast. We do not support that.
Yes, we want the planes to be in the air.
Yeah.
Or on the ground safely.
But yeah, so I'll have to check that documentary out. Is it like a multi-part, or is it a couple-hour documentary, or what is it?
Yeah, it's like an hour and a half. And there's like a... I used to just think Boeing like owned like all the planes. Apparently, there's like another European country that's also kind of in the plane business, and they've kind of overtaken like majority of the planes out there due to like these recent scandals of Boeing. So, you know, you think of Boeing, you know, you think of these big planes, Boeing, you know, 747, 7, you know, 77 Max airplanes that Southwest and Delta and all these companies fly with. But the European company has kind of overtaken the majority share, kind of, you know, and they're kind of probably more safe or deemed more safe. It's probably less prideful to say another country's corporation is probably better than the U.S. version, but that might be the case for planes right now. But who knows? I'm just a part-time accountant. I don't know anything about planes.
Just what you learned in a documentary.
Right. And that's all I got. Anything else you wanted to add?
I don't have anything to add, no.
All right. We will jump in to the most anticipated segment of every episode. We got Tyler's quote of the week. How are you going to leave us today, Tyler?
Well, I'm going to leave us on a March Madness note. This one comes from Gonzaga star player Drew Timmy. Post game, you know, their team was down at half. He rallied the troops. They came back to win. And he said, "I don't give a flying F what happens at the end of the game. We aren't going out as any soft guys." That's what he was telling the TV crews afterwards. He censored himself, but that was kind of his message at half. So I ended up staying up to watch that game. Pretty good game. I was rooting against Gonzaga just because it would have helped me, because a bunch of other people would have missed out on that in their bracket. But good game. Pretty impressive.
Bracket's still live, and we will have to check up for updates on your bracket and my revised bracket. Same time next week.
Let's do it.